Good to be here with you tonight. Glad to see all those present with us here tonight. We'd like to talk about tonight secret sin versus public sin. And, you know, as I think about sometimes when people create or commit public sin, you know, it may be in the newspaper, maybe on Facebook. Maybe something someone's done illegal that would wind up in court. You know, it could be family, friends, and so forth. But then you have secret sin that, as we talked about last night, that we can have evil thoughts in our mind that is sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 gives us a definition of sin. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So we need to be careful as Christians to make sure that we don't get caught up in this thing of versus public sin versus private sin and comparing each other. You know, some of y'all might say, well, I live a better life than that old Mark Carpenter, and he stands up there and preaches. But you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in the right condition, and even if you're living a better life than I am, that doesn't mean you are. We compare ourselves to God's Word. That's the standard. Of course, we should always set a good example, as Brother Ricky mentioned in his prayer tonight. But our standard has to be God's Word. And comparing ourselves to each other is not going to accomplish anything. But as a matter of fact, it can be a distraction. I believe it's one of Satan's devices. As the world gets more and more evil, we look out in the world and we go, well, I'm thankful I'm not like that. But you know, if we make it almost to heaven, you know what? We make it all the way to hell. And there's just one heaven and there's just one hell. And if you ever thought about it, if you just almost made it to heaven and we wind up being lost for all eternity in hell, we're going to be there with the most vile people that ever walked the face of this earth. You know, you think about the Hitlers and the Stalins and people that killed millions of people. We think about all the people who, you know, commit terrible crimes against, you know, children and just terrible things we see on the news every day. That's who we'd be with if we almost make it to heaven. So, you know, we just need to be careful about that. Satan uses whatever he can to divide us, to conquer us. And sometimes I think he uses this as a public sin versus secret sin to think, well, maybe I'm okay because I'm better than most of the people. Well, that doesn't matter. It matters how we are compared to God's Word. And whether our sin is unforgiven sin or sin that we have been forgiven. First, we'd like to look over to Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 as we look at secret sin. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So, you know, there may be things that we have that are secret that nobody on this earth will ever know about. Maybe it's something we've done that wasn't of a public nature and nobody ever found out. But God knows about it. And he's not going to forget it if we don't repent of that sin. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 14. We see there, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we see that these secret things, while it may escape everybody on this earth, it won't escape God. And we will be held accountable for those things. And we'll talk about thoughts of the heart. We mentioned a couple of these verses last night. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see God even knows thoughts and intents of our heart. Again, why nobody on this earth might not know. Also, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15 that we read last night, it said, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So sometimes we think, well, you know, I had a sin, but I didn't go to jail. You know, you go to jail for murdering somebody. You don't go to jail for hating somebody. But in God's word, it said that hate can be the same as murder. Why? Because it's our thought of our heart. And also in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, it said, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart." So again, someone might not ever commit that physical act of adultery. Lusting after a woman is committed adultery already in their heart. So again, it's something we need to be very careful of. Next, we're going to look at comparing our sins to someone else's sin. We kind of mentioned that just a little bit, but we're going to go into that a little bit more depth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves or comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And that's kind of a mouthful, but basically that breaks down to what I said earlier was that, you know, if your standard is like, well, I'm doing better than Mark Carpenter, that's not the standard. You know, I might be wrong, but you might be wrong too. We got to compare ourselves to God's word. That's going to be our source of judgment one day. So we got to be careful about comparing ourselves. And like I said, especially when you watch the news, you think how evil things are, and you think, well, we're a whole lot better off than that. Let's look also to Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. As we think about our sin compared to someone else's sin. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. "And he spake a parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So we think about this. I know we've all read this passage many times. But this Pharisee, he was telling God how good he was. You think God didn't know what he had done? But he was telling God how good he was, and then he turned around and said, "And I'm thankful that I'm not like this publican over here." Again, comparisons. But who did Jesus say went down to their house justified rather than the other? "He that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." We have to be humble. And again, we can't compare ourselves to others. It's easy to do, and I think that's one of Satan's devices. Compare ourselves to others. Because, again, some people he can get by just being pure evil for their whole life. He gets some people by pretending to be a Christian, some to go to church every once in a while. But it doesn't matter how close we get to heaven as long as we miss it. If we just almost get there. And he can very easily do that with the thoughts of the heart and comparing our sin to someone else's sin. Our sin has to be compared to the book that's going to judge us in the last day. Next, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the judgment, works and deeds, heaven or hell. Again, as we mentioned last night, there's just two choices. There's nothing in between. There's no makeup test. And so many things in this world, we get opportunity after opportunity to make things right. But this is one we only get one chance at. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead that were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, in verse 13, it says, judged every man according to their works. And you know, that's our hope and our prayer, that we all have our name written in the book of life when this life is over. Let's look over to Romans chapter 2 as we think about the judgment as well. We look at Romans chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So again, there's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be our works and our deeds will be taken into account. And again, we will be saved or lost. There's nowhere in between. Next, we look over to Psalms chapter 103. You know, a lot of times when we have somebody that does something to us, we go, well, I don't know if I can forgive him, and I certainly can't forget it. Well, you know, that's part of the process. Of course, you know, we want to realize those that might harm us and to remember those things, but you know, true forgiveness releases us from that as well, as much as the other person, because it tells us that we have forgiven others as we are commanded to be forgiven. But we have to be careful, again, about holding grudges against others, because when God forgives us, we are forgiven. Psalms chapter 103, beginning with verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So again, God is gracious and merciful, and when he forgives our sins, he forgives them not to be remembered anymore. As opposed to many people on this earth, they want to bring stuff up that we've done in the past. Maybe after they've even forgiven us. Also, let's look to Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall not all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember those sins no more. So anyway, also we read again about God forgiving their iniquity and remembering their sins no more. He said, unlike many people in this world, want to keep bringing up sins they say that they have forgiven us of. Now let's look over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see, we'll start reading in verse 7. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, above when he said, Sacrifice and offering of burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou would not, neither hast pleasure in them which are offered by them. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expect until his enemies become his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. So we see Jesus Christ came and paid the price for our sins that we can be truly forgiven. Let's look back over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Again, as we look at judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, again, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 10, the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So, you know, many times people think about that our life on earth of good and bad is like a balance. You know, if I can do just a little bit more good than I do bad, then I can make it to heaven. That's not what it's like at all. God forgives our sins, so we don't have to give that account of them. But, you know, we can't have unforgiven sin on the day of judgment that will cause us to be lost. And we look at sins forgiven as we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So again, as we think about these things, as we look at the sins of others that may be public, we got to be careful that we don't compare ourselves to them, whether it's on the news, whether it's our fellow brother and our people in the community. Our standard has got to be God's word. And that's the word that's going to judge us in the last day. I hope this has been beneficial to you, as it has been for me, to think on these things. If there's any here today that have never rendered obedience to the gospel, or those that have, and straight away, if we could assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come while we sleep.